What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about self-care and really this field of self-care that is growing rapidly to become a multi-billion-dollar industry. As a Christian, have you ever actually paused to think through what is self-care? What are the limits of what's being called self-care in that field and the food, the time you invest in caring for yourself? What's the purpose of self-care? At what point does self-care become entitlement, selfishness, or being a prima donna? You know what I mean by a prima donna? It's like someone that's maybe lacking tenacity, a little soft. They're wimpy. And I don't mean just for guys. I mean that a girl too, just maybe a bit high maintenance is what we would call it. At what point do we say, look, self-care has blurred into the lines of you are selfish and you are entitled and you are being a prima donna. But, you know, as some of you hear that, you're thinking, hey, Dr. G, like, does this mean that I should just be absolutely run through, dilapidated? Call me dilapidated for Jesus. You know, I'm just burning it at both ends, trying to serve the Lord and potentially living in a war zone and strife, relational conflict, maybe actual like national conflict. And I'm not stopping to rest and take a little R&R. So this is really the thrust of today's episode and next week's episode, which is to paint kind of a picture of what's happening, how to reinterpret that as Christians, and then how do we actually engage in self-care in a way that's honoring to the Lord, but maybe that term self-care just isn't the best way to think about what we're doing. That's the point. So what is self-care? It's the ability of individuals, families, and communities to promote health, prevent disease, maintain health, and cope with illness and disability with or without the support of a health worker. That's what the WHO says, the World Health Organization. And the WHO is obviously thinking more about a biological illness. Just note what's said, promote health, prevent disease, maintain health, cope with illness and disability without having a nurse or doctor there. Self-care is like brushing your teeth or washing your hands or not eating the donut in the bathroom. It's a very specific example that I was not thinking about this morning. When we think about dropping food, you say, you know what? I should probably not eat that because it landed on the floor of a public place. So that's more of like the biological disease. What has taken place is the illness, the health, the disease model has started to morph not into the way that you eat and how much you exercise, but to morph all the way into self-care for your mental health or for your emotional health. So what the Global Self-Care Federation does is they have a similar version of self-care that the World Health Organization does, but they say that it's making healthy lifestyle choices, avoiding unhealthy lifestyle habits, making responsible use of prescription and non-prescription medicines, self-recognition of symptoms, self-management, and self-monitoring. But what has slowly taken place is a move from the Global Self-Care Federation's definition and a move from the World Health Organization's definition to now talking about vital areas of self-care. Okay, almost anyone that you ask, any organization that you appeal to that gives you a definition of self-care is going to have at least five of these next eight that I'll share with you. Okay, obviously physical self-care, and this is diet, exercise, sleep, medical checkups. That's more what the WHO was talking about and Global Self-Care Federation was talking about. Second, you're going to have psychological self-care. This is where mental health or mental self-care focuses on maintaining mental clarity, cognitive health through activities that stimulate the mind. Okay, notice that this slides like imperceptibly into getting a therapist, into caring for your mental health. But there is also a level of just caring for your cognition, learning new skills, having a mind that's active, So that's, think of like doing Sudoku as a way of stimulating your mind, or being an active reader of stimulating mind, as different from meditating or therapy. So just draw a line between cognition and what's being called mental health. But again, this is a second category for self-care. First was physical, second is psychological. Third is emotional self-care. It's where you have healthy relationships with your feelings and inner experiences. You can process emotions, practice compassion, and even self-compassion. Sorry, I'm gagging as I'm reading this. Social self-care, where you have good friendships, you set boundaries, you maintain connections, and you participate in community activity. The fifth that is typically everywhere, so far I've said physical, psychological, emotional, social. You're going to see some type of religious self-care or spiritual self-care. It transcends beliefs. It focuses on connecting with your inner self and finding meaning through meditation, prayer, spending time in nature, and practicing gratitude. Okay, each of these are coming from Michaela Rose at ASD Market Week. She wrote an article called Self-Care Trends for Retailers. And she's trying to help identify what are those areas of self-care that are connected to what consumers are practicing so retailers can start to tap into that market. A few that she stated that I didn't list, which would be professional self-care, is where you're working on your professional skills, career development, environmental self-care, the things around you, your space, your room, your mattress, those types of things, and then financial self-care. That's you have a retirement planner, you have a financial goal you're working towards. So big picture, at least five different aspects have now morphed from you should brush your teeth and wash your hands and get adequate rest, to now you need to care for your emotions, you need to cancel people that are toxic, social self-care, and you need to be attentive to your mental health. That's psychological or mental self-care. As a believer, you just got to be candid about how this is turning into a business, and a business unlike any generation before. The wellness industry, Ali Volpe says of Vox Publication, she says that the wellness industry wouldn't be as good as it is if it didn't prey on our insecurities. So what does self-care promise you? To be beautiful. Hey, girl, you're so pretty. Oh, thanks. Hey, bro, what kind of protein you using? Oh, yeah, the good stuff. To live forever, you're approaching your 70s and you're thinking, man, I want to be vibrant into my 90s. To be healthy, and what the wellness industry is doing is it's promising something that it can't deliver on. The industry itself, self-care industry, it has an approximate value of $41.2 billion, and it's estimated to continue to grow. Numbers, this is back in 2023. Numbers in 2023 were expected that in 2025, let me get the exact date here. This is per ASD Market Watch, that the trends of future wellness would increase self-care to approximately $5.6 trillion as a business. McKinsey & Company said in May of 2025 that the United States alone, we estimate that it represents more than $500 billion in annual spending, growing at 4-5% each year. Notice that self-care has tapped into this desire to live longer, be more beautiful, be beautifuler, be more handsomer, to have less wrinkles and more muscles and be cognitively alert. And what is taking place is it's not really fixing the problem. There is no one by drinking cucumber water is going to elongate their life. You do recognize that we're stewarding what God has given to us. So you're thinking to yourself, I'm doing all these things to be healthier while I live. And if you're not careful, you fail to reckon in what is God doing, what is God's purpose, even in physical illness, and how does God actually use my length of days to correspond to his exact will for my life? So what this market does is, it almost is like a James 4-ism where there is no plan for what God is doing. It's up to me to be able to stay healthy, get rid of my wrinkles, and live a long time. So what happens is, and this is not my quote, this comes from Maya Nigel Hoskins, self-care became a billion-dollar industry at Forbes. She said, markets grow most reliably around problems that never fully resolve. Did you catch that? Markets grow most reliably around problems that never resolve. You want to know what's making a lot of money right now in America? Is the self-care industry. Do you want to know what's making the most money in the self-care industry? Energy supplements and gut health, according to ASD Market Week. Energy and gut health. We're also watching, and this is according to Circana, we're watching weight management and protein consumption remain strong catalysts, sustained by steady adoption of GLP-1 medications and an enduring focus on muscle health. Translate that practically. Ozempic is on the rise. Mounjaro or Mounjaro, whatever the other GLP-1 is on the rise. Everyone is taking these shots to lose weight, and it's becoming a huge moneymaker. And of course, the energy markets. Think of energy drinks, pills, Vitality, Focus, gut health. Those are your cleanses, your drinks, your mixes, your shakes, diets. Those are the cash cows right now. So here is an area for consideration, and then let's take a short break. Non-medical issues are now being framed as medical issues through the means of health. Non-medical issues are medical issues through the means of health. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll pick up with that consideration.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment, who's taking apart the self-care industry and what it promises but can't really deliver. He said something that I think is extremely important and something I think we should all try to keep on the front of our mind, and that's that markets grow most reliably around problems that never resolve. See, that's the whole business model. You sell a shake or a supplement or an app or a subscription. All of those things track your mood and make sure that the pain that you're feeling never really goes away because a satisfied customer keeps buying. Now, if we transition that a little bit, kind of staying in the same lane, but thinking about it a little bit differently, consider what's already on your phone. Most of those things operate on the same principle. They exist to keep you restless, to keep you coming back, slightly dissatisfied, but you're not dissatisfied with the actual product or the app. You're dissatisfied with maybe some of the content in there, but you don't really underneath know why. You just keep coming back and you keep coming back and you keep getting more and more dissatisfied because you're convinced that the next time you come back, the next scroll, well, that's finally going to settle you. That's not how it works in the secular world, but that's exactly how it works with the Fortis Plus app. It runs on a completely opposite operating system, if that makes any kind of sense. Nobody's selling you anything. You don't have to upgrade or sign up for a premium tier, or there's no problems being manufactured just so there's a solution that can be marketed to you. That's not what we do. And Greg's entire library of Transformed and every bit of content he's ever produced as a fellow at Fortis Institute can be found there. So can Dr. Adam Tyson's, Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Glosson, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel. All of it can be found right there on the Fortis Plus app. It's our distribution hub, and you can download it right now for free from wherever it is that you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hundreds of hours of teaching that points you away from yourself and points you towards Christ, which is the one thing that the wellness industry will never offer you. Because if your soul ever finds rest in God, well, then that soul might stop shopping. And the wellness industry can't afford that. Go find it wherever you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV, or again, you can go to fortisplus.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been discussing self-care and how we as Christians can think through self-care in a way that is biblical, while not running our bodies into the ground, but also not becoming myopic and overly focused on our own health. At the end of the break, last segment, I said, non-medical issues are now being framed as medical issues through the means of what is so-called health. So these terms should actually be misnomers to you for those of you that are just thinking carefully and biblically here. When I say mental health, of course, all of you are like, all right, Dr. G, don't do it. I'm trying not to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to like read to you lies my therapist told me and get fired up on that bandwagon again, but do recognize that mental health is a misnomer to take a biological health category and then to transpose the immaterial mind into that category. We're starting to miss the very nature of what is the mind. But the same could be true for emotional health. All right, as soon as I say emotional health, that should make you a bit twitchy, because are emotions a physiological thing? Are they material? Meaning, can I take a pill and it changes my emotions? Or am I tinkering with sensations or neurotransmitters rather than joy and peace? When you think about the emotion of joy or being glad, I want you to think like, if there were a pill to take that would make you joyful all the time, that would be the best seller. Not energy supplements, but the joy pill. And you're like, man, isn't that what psychedelics do? Ain't no way. Maybe for 30 minutes they do that and they take you to that alternate state, but that's not a lasting joy. So we even know that emotions are not biological. Social health, that should just feel weird to you. Social health, meaning like you have healthy relationships and you're in a community, you set boundaries, you cancel people. That's social health. And to use that term health is inherently confusing. Okay, if you have your Bible, let me get some food for thought churning. The closest place in all of Scripture where we see the term health mentioned about what's going on in your inner person is in 3 John. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. There it is. Good health as it goes well with your soul. Notice that Gaius is in such a place that he is spiritually vibrant. And John wishes that he is physically well, just like his soul is vibrant. That would be the equivalent of saying, you're so Christ-like, I hope your outer man is doing as good as your inner man is doing. That's the closest you're going to see health. So be careful that you don't obfuscate the nature of what is really being treated. Cucumber water is not going to fix your emotional health. Cucumber water and saunas are not going to treat your social health. So the reality is, and this is just something that I think is called discernment. The reality is you have to begin to ask yourself, wait a minute, all of the things that are being put forward as true self-care are generally marketing a product. Huh? Wait a minute, I've been tricked this whole time. Maybe you have, like maybe you haven't paused to think like that water company is trying to portray their water is going to make you live forever. That makeup company is trying to make you seem like their makeup's going to take away every wrinkle and you'll be beautiful forever. All the effects of sin are instantly reversed with Maybelline. And you're like, oh, that ain't happening. Mineral, what is it? Bare Essentials. Nope, ain't going to happen. So what do you need to ask yourself? Allie Volpe from Vox, I quoted her just a second ago. She wrote an article entitled, Is Self-Care Making Us More Selfish or Lonely? She said, who's telling us what to buy and who stands to gain from it? I'm not here to like pop anyone's bubble, but the gym portrays the gym is the best. The acai bowl portrays they're the best. Starbucks protein coffee say they're the best. And now I have sheets that are the best. And now I have all of these rules to live by in order to actually care for myself. But what's really happening is you're being marketed to based off of businesses that want to sell you a product that I do think actually tap into your insecurities. Some of you that have the greatest confidence in Christ and you have total clarity in who you are, you laugh at those marketing campaigns. You drive by Gold's Gym and they're promising you'll live forever. And you're like, oh yeah, right. So why does everyone look like they're leather tanned and on steroids coming out of Gold's? Like, what's going on there? So we do recognize that this is not a biological and objective reality about self-care. What's being tailored to is our insecurities, now they're being marketed to, and they're being couched in the language of health, mental health, emotional health, social health. So then you need to actually care for those things to be healthy. And who doesn't want to be healthy, right? So as a Christian, let's create a category. Self-care for your body equals stewardship of the outer man. Self-care for your body equals stewardship of the outer man. Biblically, I think you can go all the way back to the earliest parts of the written canon when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and you can actually see that God has built in rest as part of his plans for people, that we should work 6 days and take the seventh off. And as believers, we actually observe Sundays, the first day of the week, because that is the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. So many of you are not taking Friday into Saturday off. You're taking Sundays off. And for most of you, you're getting 2 days off a week. It's a very biblical principle. In fact, you could get 1 day off a week and still be totally refreshed. That 1 day isn't dedicated to Pokemon and watching GTO videos. I've looked already, if you're wondering. It's dedicated to the Lord, and they're intended to be not only a physical refreshment, but a spiritual refreshment. But let your body rest. Care for your body. Food is a means of fueling your body, and ideally, it can be flavorful, but it doesn't have to be flavorful. Remember that you're to receive everything with thanks, including fish sticks and Kool-Aid, a little Baja Blast with some Taco Bell, fast food to the glory of God because it gives me calories that translate into energy that can fuel my body. And no, it wasn't as lean as it could be, but all food is created by God and we're to receive it with thanksgiving. So what are you receiving food for? Fuel, to fuel your body. And why are you fueling your body in self-care? Your body was purchased by God as a believer. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Remember the purpose of your body. When you read this, self-care is totally crushed by this verse. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. That is said in the context of sexual purity, just to be clear. But notice, glorify God with your body. Your body's not your own. God owns your physical body, and why are you stewarding it? You are stewarding it so that you can glorify God, whether by life or by death, Philippians 1:20. Your goal in caring for the outer man is to steward your body so you can serve the Lord as long as he keeps you alive. Beauty is not an end in and of itself. Beauty is an act of worship and not being a distraction to the gospel. Your biceps, the Arnold biceps, they are huge. Your biceps are not about you, but about you serving the Lord. Your wrinkle cream, your cucumber water, your mattress with the cooling top, your blackout curtains and on, and your bubble bath and on and on and on. Each of those outer man stewardship things are intended to facilitate that you can serve the Lord as long as he keeps you alive. Your life, the number of your days, is in the hands of the Lord, and he sovereignly holds them. And there ain't no bubble bath that's going to add a span of life to your days. So make sure that you're getting that priority right. If you use the term self-care for your outer man, then make sure that you have a right theology of why would you care for your outer man in the first place. If it's to be vain, if it's to glorify the vessel that God has given you, if it's to be self-focused, then it's actually a wrong shift. And guys, many of you that know me personally, you know that I got into bodybuilding in high school. And even in high school, in Greg's newly formed walk with Christ, I realized that I could not pursue bodybuilding and be a Christian who wasn't self-focused. I was eating three times a day. I was having to sleep, work out for 2 to 3 hours. And it was just a me, me, me type of world. And I thought, even as my 17 and 18-year-old self, I thought, this isn't right. Like, this doesn't match what the Bible calls for stewardship. So if it's your job and you're getting paid to do it, that's one thing. And that's not the same thing as taking pictures of yourself and putting them on social media. But you have to realize that the outer man is about glorifying God. So here's the cliffhanger until next week. Self-care is not an accurate way to describe your inner man. Self-watch is. The Bible doesn't say care for yourself at the inner man, but keep watch on yourself at the inner man. So join me next week and we'll complete that thought. Let's pray before we're done. Lord, thank you for the truth of your scripture. Many of us are being blasted right now with marketing emails and media and all of these promises on how we can be younger, live longer, and have more vibrant lives because of their product. So give us discernment as Christians. We want to be physically well so we can serve you. And we also want our inner person to be vibrant like Gaius's was, but not so we can just enjoy our life, but so that we can use our life as a means of worship to you. So give us clarity in these episodes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.